Happy Sabbath. It's great to be here with everyone. Such a wonderful, beautiful day out there, huh? And this is like perfect, picturesque day. It's hard to imagine that basically we're halfway through the month of August. Could you imagine? August and summer is almost over. It's insane. It's insane to think about this. But brother, there's one thing that brings me great joy during these summer months, and that is the blessing of the garden. The garden is something my wife and I truly appreciate. We spend time pruning and taking care of the plants, and it's just a lot of fun, and it's truly a blessing. But there's something about the garden that's so deeply satisfying. Of course, it requires work. We need to prep the soil. We need to plant the seeds. We need to pull the weeds and prune the branches. We need to water every day, and every day we look for signs of growth and new life. It is work, after all, but it's work that's so much fun. It's so rewarding. Every morning it seems like it brings a new surprise, a tiny shoot pushing its way through the soil, flowers beginning to bloom and bear fruit. The growth that happens ever so slowly overnight. And of course, as the gardener, we could see these things happening. We recognize these tiny little subtle changes. And anyone who's ever had a garden understands what it takes to take care and maintain one. It truly requires patience and care. As much as we would like to force the seeds to grow fast, we can't hurry the process. Growth happens quietly. Often it happens unnoticed, beneath the surface, before it ever appears above the ground. Every gardener understands this important truth, that while we may plant and water, life itself is a miracle that comes from God. And so, brethren, the title of today's message is The Garden of God, The Garden of God. The Bible frequently uses analogies of gardens to teach us spiritual lessons. From the very beginning, our Father created for mankind in a garden to live in, to inhabit. King David described those who follow God's law as trees planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season. Jesus himself often taught the disciples using these same concepts in his parables. So today what I want to do is consider three spiritual parallels that are related to the garden that reflect God's plan for mankind. The first is that seeds must be sown in order for the garden to grow. The seeds must be sown in order for the garden to grow. The second is that tending to the garden enables its growth. Tending to the garden enables its growth. And third is that we need to be prepared for the harvest. We need to be prepared for the harvest. And so, brethren, one scripture that expresses this best can be found in Isaiah chapter 61. So please turn there with me to Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 11, please. And you want to bookmark this because this will be the focus of our message, Isaiah 61. We'll be bouncing back and forth, but we will be coming back to Isaiah 61 pretty frequently. In this scripture, God pictures his entire work of salvation as a garden. And Isaiah ends this remarkable chapter with a beautiful promise. In Isaiah 61 and verse 11, he says, "For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations." Brethren, this verse just touches the heart. It's such a beautiful verse. And notice who's doing the work in the garden here. The garden belongs to God. The growth comes from God. The harvest comes from God. And so then let's begin with the first point, which is the seeds must be sown. As I said earlier, if you tended a garden, you know that before anything happens, before we can harvest fruit, we need to plant the seeds. In Isaiah 61 and verse 1, if you jump to the top of the chapter, Isaiah 61 verse 1, we find the makings of the first seed. When he opens up this chapter, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor." Brethren, these words should sound very familiar to us because nearly 700 years later, Jesus walked into a synagogue in Nazareth, opened the scroll, and read these verses planting the first seeds. After reading Isaiah's prophecy, Jesus simply said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." At that moment, Jesus Christ began sowing the seeds of the good news to all the world. The promised Messiah began to publicly proclaim the good news of the coming kingdom of God and the coming harvest of mankind. By his word, these seeds were planted and grew throughout the earth. Consider the parable of the sower. Jesus tells us that the seed is the word of God. And he explains that every calling begins the same way. When we hear God's truth, the seed is planted. Sometimes it falls on hardened hearts. Sometimes it is crowded out by the cares of this life. Sometimes it springs up ever so briefly. But when it falls on good soil, it produces abundant fruit. Like Jesus, the Apostle Peter makes this very same connection in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Please turn with me there. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Here Peter reminds us that we spring forth and are born through the uncorruptible word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. It says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever." And here is the point that he continues on with, the result of the seed being planted. "Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever." And that word is what's planted in our hearts. That is what grows. Brethren, every one of us sitting here today began our spiritual journey exactly the same way. Someone planted a seed. Someone, perhaps a parent, a pastor, a friend, a sermon, or a message on television, in my case. None of us can produce spiritual life on our own. It is God who plants the seed in our hearts. Yet after the gardener plants the seed, he knows that tending to the garden enables growth, which is the second point of this message. Tending to the garden enables the growth. After planting seeds, nothing seems to happen. Yet beneath the soil, as I said earlier, remarkable things are taking place. Roots begin to form, pulling nutrients from the earth. Life begins to emerge. The seed begins to move from darkness into the marvelous light. Brethren, Isaiah describes this spiritual transformation beautifully in chapter 61. If we turn back to chapter 61, in verse 3, he begins this process of changing our lives, of healing our wounded hearts. He breaks the chains of sin in our lives. He gives us hope where there was despair. This transformation just is incredible, and it is the fruit of the process, the gardening process that's taking place. He replaces ashes in verse 3. He replaces ashes with beauty, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Brethren, only God can accomplish this kind of growth and spiritual transformation in our lives. We're all here because God has touched us and that seed has been planted. Once the seed is planted, it must be tended to in order to grow. We must seek the nourishment of God in his word. We must allow the seed to grow strong, deep, healthy roots. When we do our part, the gardener provides the life-giving water of his Holy Spirit. And through this process, we can begin to become righteous trees, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified, as it says in Isaiah. Brethren, as gardeners, we understand this very well. We prepare, we plant, we water, but we must also tend to the garden. It must be maintained. We need to prune and weed the garden to ensure that it can bear fruit. And Jesus illustrates this in John chapter 15 and verse 1. You can write that one down. John 15 and verse 1, when he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And here the word translated vine dresser is gergos in Greek, meaning farmer or cultivator or someone that works with the soil. It pictures the Father as the skilled gardener who carefully prunes and nourishes and tends to each branch so that it can bear fruit. And yes, sometimes pruning can be uncomfortable. Sometimes trials remove what is unhealthy. But every careful cut is made by the loving hand of the master gardener. Hebrews 12:11, write this one down as well. Hebrews 12:11 reminds us of this somewhat painful process when it says, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Brethren, growth takes time. It requires tending. None of us become mature Christians overnight. Just as a gardener does not become discouraged when the tomatoes don't appear overnight after we plant these seeds, God patiently works with each of us throughout our lives, and he recognizes the subtle changes in our lives. Brethren, we should be reminded that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God tends to teach to each plant until the day of harvest, which brings us to the final point. We must be prepared for the harvest. Brethren, let's turn back to Isaiah 61, verse 11, and let's notice how the chapter concludes. As we read the end of this verse, we see that the emphasis is no longer on one individual. It's no longer even on Israel. Isaiah's vision expands and encompasses the entire world. In Isaiah 61, verse 11, he says, "So the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations." All the nations. What began quietly in Nazareth by Jesus Christ eventually spread throughout Judea, Samaria, Asia Minor, Europe, until the gospel has reached every corner, virtually every corner of the earth, exactly as Jesus foretold. In Matthew 13, Jesus compares the kingdom of God to a mustard seed, tiny, almost insignificant. Yet eventually it becomes a great tree where the birds find shelter. And this is God's way. God's garden begins with a small beginning and ends with a worldwide impact. Paul reminds us in Galatians 6:9. He tells us, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Brethren, there is a great harvest coming. And just like our own garden, God does not bring in his harvest and his entire crop all at once. The Bible speaks of an initial harvest of first fruits and before the much larger harvest of all mankind. And so today God is calling relatively few, preparing them for his kingdom. His first fruits are being cultivated now so they can serve Christ with a far greater harvest in the age to come. In Revelation 7:9, we find a glimpse of this future harvest. John sees a great multitude, which no one could number, of all the nations, tribes, and peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. Brethren, Isaiah saw the promise, and John sees the fulfillment of that promise. God's garden will one day fill the entire earth. Righteousness and praise will truly spring forth before all the nations. And this is the good news. We are in the middle of the gardening season. As we walk through our gardens this summer, we should be reminded that every plant starts with an insignificant seed. That the work begins underground where no one can see it. And this is often how God works in our lives. Quietly, patiently, faithfully. He plants his word. He nurtures our growth. And until the seed springs forth from the darkness into his marvelous light. And then he sustains us with the water of life. He prunes and prepares us that we may bear fruit. Yet there is one final lesson every gardener learns, and that is a healthy garden will eventually produce more seeds. In God's amazing garden, the fruit always contains the next generation. As God's children, we are not merely plants growing in his garden. We are also called to participate in his work. Jesus tells his disciples, "Lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ready, white for harvest." Our calling is to remain connected to Christ, to continue growing in righteousness, and to allow our lives to become a testimony that points to the Master Gardener. As first fruits of God's garden, we are not simply waiting for the harvest. God is preparing us to participate in it. He is teaching us now so that under Christ's rule, we may help bring righteousness and praise to all the nations. When people see patience instead of anger, hope instead of despair, faith instead of fear, praise instead of complaint, they catch a glimpse of what God is cultivating in each of us. Isaiah promises that the Lord himself will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. The question is not whether God's garden will flourish. For as sure as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, God's garden will bear fruit, and there will be a harvest. The question for us who are here today is whether we will allow him to continue cultivating our hearts so that we can become the first fruits in the garden of God.